Well, good morning, all. It's good to be in the house of the Lord again. I just wanted you, the Lord has continuously affirmed that this is the message that I am to be teaching at this point in time, not only for this church, but I believe, Book of Revelation says, he that heareth an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. I believe this is the word that God would have everybody to understand and know, and that is to understand who he is and what he is. And so we're teaching again today. It'll be the third week on the subject, who do you say that I am, or who am I to you? Looking at Jeremiah, the 9th chapter, the 23rd and the 24th verse, it says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. So here he's saying, you know, I know that it's in your nature because you are created in the image of Almighty God. So I know it's in your nature to glory. I know it's in your nature to brag. I tell you, I know that... I hear it all the time. I mean, everybody's got something that they're proud of in their life, and they like to bring it forth and let people know. And, you know, some of us like to remind others of it many times over. But here's God says, you know, if you're going to glory, if you're going to go about bragging about something, don't brag about your strength. Don't brag about your might. Don't brag about your riches. But if you're going to brag about something, brag in the fact that you understand and know who I am. Praise the Lord. And so I'd like to say today that for you pastors, teachers, preachers, evangelists, understand that all ministry should be directing to teach people to know God. It's great to bring forth the knowledge of the Word of God. But understand that just the knowledge of the Word of God will not save you if you don't know who He is. We find that the children of Israel, they knew the law. But Paul says even the law could not save them because they could not keep the law. The knowledge of the Word does no good unless you know the writer and the author of the book. Praise the Lord. So today we're going to be talking to you about Jehovah Mephalti, the Lord my deliverer. This is one of the most powerful things to understand, that the Lord is my deliverer. And I like the fact that each and every one of these things are in the first person. This is my deliverer. The Lord, my deliverer. I like the way that the children of Israel recognized that he was their own personal God. And when we begin to understand that, when we understand that he belongs to me, that he is my God, then we begin to get to the point where we can start knowing and understanding him in the fullness of his glory and the fullness of his truth. Remember one thing. Eternal life does not begin when you die. Eternal life begins when you come to know Jesus Christ. That's when your eternal life begins at that point in time. Praise the Lord. In Psalms, the 34th chapter, 17 through 19, the righteous cry and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Now understand one thing that's important for all of us to realize and recognize at this point in time. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. There is nowhere in Scripture that says when you come to know God that you're going to be on a nice, smooth road like they have in California, not like the ones here in Texas, you know, where you're just going to cruise along. There's no potholes. There's no barriers, no problems, no detours or anything. But the Bible says that there's going to be many afflictions that we're going to face. But the key to understanding it all is to know Him as your deliverer, because He says that no matter what afflictions come your way, the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Praise the Lord. I look back onto the children of Israel, and what I like to do is I like to let you know historical facts, but also bring it into today's living so that you understand that those things that they endured back many thousands of years ago are still in effect today. We still fight the same battles. We still come against the same enemy. We still come against the same opposition that they faced so many years ago. But we still have the same God that never changes, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise the Lord. Deuteronomy 6th chapter, the 17th through the 25th verse, it says, you shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes, which he hath commanded thee, and thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou may goest in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to cast out all thine enemies from before thee, as the Lord hath spoken. And when thy son asks thee in time to come, saying, what means the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then shalt thou say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondsmen. We were in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. The Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his households before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in and give us to the land which he has sware to our fathers. Understand and know this. It's important to remember where God has brought you from. It's easy enough when we look back upon the children of Israel, it's easy to see where God did a mighty work. Not only did he bring them out of Egypt, but they literally raided Egypt and brought all the wealth of Egypt out with them. They brought out the gold, and so they brought out so much gold they were able to make a golden calf within just a few days of being out of there. And within 18 months' time, they were at the door of Canaan land, ready to march in. But then something happened to them, and I'm getting ahead of myself to understand this. Understanding and knowing that God is your deliverer is to remember where he has brought you from with gratitude and humility. Understand and know that the minute we start complaining about where we are in our life, what happens when you find yourself in an uncomfortable situation that you want to complain and gripe about it? What happens? The first thing that flesh wants to do is to find a way to ease that particular suffering or anything. And many, many times we look back to the past and try maybe to revert back to that which we knew once before and go back to where we were once delivered from. The children of Israel were many times griped and complained. And the statement they made over and over again was, we were better off when we were in bondage. We were better off when we were in Egypt. Not remembering where God had brought them from and where he was taking them to. We will always be able to look back. And one of the key things that I think is so very important to remembering where God has brought you from, you have witnessed me in the last few weeks look back in the back of my Bible. And in the back of my Bible, you will see testimonies that I can point to and refer to of what God has done in my life and in my ministry. Praise the Lord. I can go back to these things and I can remember where God has brought me from. I want you to understand, sometimes we need to build an altar when God has delivered us from something, and we need to learn to return to that altar and say, God, I remember when you took me out of this place. I remember what you did for me in my life, and I never want to forget. And so when your children come and say, Dad, why do we go to church every Sunday? Why do you pay your tithes? Why do you do this and why do you do that? Why do you and Mama pray over the food when we eat? Why do you and Mama hold up the tithing when you write your check in the house and you lift it up before God and you begin to worship God and thank God for the blessings that He's bestowed upon you? And why do you do these things? And you can look at him and say, Son, there was a time when I was bound by the sins of this world, and God with a mighty hand delivered me from those things. Praise the Lord. Pastors and teachers and preachers get up there on Sunday mornings all across the nation, and you hear them get up and say, don't you sin because you're going to go to hell. Don't you sin because it's going to destroy your life. Don't you sin because things will happen to me. Upon you. But let me tell you what God says. God says, don't sin because you were created in my image. Don't sin because you were created for greatness. Don't sin because I have made you to live an abundant life. That's what my God says. Praise the Lord. We don't have to look far to see the blessings of God in our lives. And sometimes we live our lives each and every day and we forget to acknowledge what God does for us on a day-to-day basis, what He is delivering us from day-to-day. One of the things that we see in this world, some of the problems that we see in the world that so many people are looking for deliverance from, we see the different 12-step programs that are out there for drugs and alcohol and sexual addictions and gambling and such. And these are great programs that help a lot of people all across our nations. And you see people talking about going to their meetings and how they've been 1 year sober or 6 months sober or 12 years sober or whatever the case is. And while this is a great program and it's helped a lot of people, they come short. They need to go to step number 13. Not only do you need to recognize that there is a higher power, but you need to understand and know who that higher power is and know that He can deliver you completely from that addiction that you once had. Praise the Lord. He can take you completely away from that sin so that it never affects your life again. Know that the world recognizes that these are bondages. They recognize that they are bound by these addictions and everything, and they are seeking relief. But understand and know that God is not just willing to take you away from it for a period of time, but know and understand that He is willing to deliver you from it permanently so it never has a hold on you again. One of the problems with this is they continue to confess when they stand up in front of the congregation and the audience. They say, well, I am an addict or I am an alcoholic. The challenge with this is that when you continue to speak a positive affirmation, hearing something often enough makes it more likely that you will believe it. You continue to confess that you're an addict, you're going to continue to be an addict. And in turn, your belief makes it more likely that you'll act in ways that make your affirmation become a reality. I look at Billy Graham. Billy Graham, in all the years that he ministered and everything and did such a great work, he continued every night. It was said that every night in service, he never, never once failed to confess that I am a sinner saved by grace. And that is a very humble and admirable approach to understanding what God has done in your life. But I like what Pastor Randy said a couple of weeks ago. He said we need to stop looking at ourselves as the center, but we need to look at us as God looks at us and see the righteousness of God that He has bestowed upon each and every one of us, because He has delivered us from that world of sin. He has delivered us from being a sinner. And when He looks at us, He looks at us as the righteousness of God. Praise the Lord. I remember there's a friend of mine, Todd Lugley, who lives in, is actually moving to the Metroplex as I speak, but was from California. God delivered him from drugs, and he will get up and share his testimony from time to time. But never once do you ever hear him confess that I am an addict. What he confesses is that I used to be, but God, Almighty God, has delivered me from that. I love Robert Morris because he is so quick to confess his own humanity and his mistakes and everything when he preaches. He doesn't stand up there pretending to be better than anybody else. And he talks about his battle with drugs when he was a teenager, but how when God, he accepted Christ and God filled his heart with the Spirit of the Holy Spirit, immediately he was delivered from drugs and never has looked back on those things. Once God delivers you, you can stay delivered forever. It's only when we start looking back at those things. I want to tell you something. The enemy will do everything he can to remind you of the joy that you had when you were drunk, when you were high, when you were in some sordid affair or something like that. He's going to try to bring those remembrances to your mind to make you turn and look back and say, oh, if I was just in bondage once again. But I want to tell you that God has brought you out of that so that he can take you to a better place. Praise the Lord. The children of Israel walked right up to the land of promise within 18 months of walking out of Egypt. They were standing right there at the door, ready to walk across that river Jordan and take what God had promised to them. But all of a sudden, they saw a battle in front of them. They saw something that they did not really care to take on at that point in time. And they forgot about what God had done for them, what God had promised them. Understand and know this, you're not fighting the battle by yourself. You're not walking alone. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you, because I am with you even until the end of the world. You're not walking this walk alone. You're not fighting this fight by yourself. Praise the Lord. How many of you have noticed the names of God up there, and how many of them refer to him in warfare? He is my strong fortress. He is my high and mighty tower. He is my shield. He is just many, many names. I can't even remember them all right now, because so many of them refer to the warfare that he brings on our behalf. Understand and know something. You try to take on the devil by yourself, you will fail. But when you know God, when you know our deliverer, we don't have to worry, because we know that he's going to be there to take care of us each and every day. The key to remaining free is not to revisit the bondage of the past, not to look back upon the bondage of the past with remorse of walking away from it. When I was in prison, one of the things that I saw many, many times over and over again over the years that I was there, I saw men that had walked out of the prison doors just a couple of 3 months before, and all of a sudden you look up and here they are walking back through those doors into bondage again. And I asked one guy one day, I said, what is the problem with you guys that you got to feel like that you got to come back to this place? Why would anybody want to come back to this place where you have no freedoms whatsoever? And he said, well, when I got out there, I had to go out and get a job, and I just didn't like it, and it was better. I felt better. I would be better off in here. I had one guy there that had served 10 years for drugs, and then had gone out and was free out of prison for 4 years, and was doing just great, and actually had bought a restaurant and doing good. And all of a sudden, somebody came up to him and reminded him of the money that he used to have when he was a drug dealer, and he started dealing drugs again and everything else. And the next thing you know, he's back in for another 25 years. We don't need to look back upon the past with any feeling of remorse from walking away from it. We need to look at the past and look at where God has brought us from, and then look forward to the future of where he wants to take us to. We had a young man in Visalia, California, Chris Merriweather, wonderful young man of God, we got ready one night to go to a roller skating rink. We had rented a roller skating rink, and we were going to have a lockdown for all the young people from several churches to come there, and they were going to spend all night Friday night there at the roller rink with the chaperones and stuff like this. And so we were some of the chaperones, and I asked Chris Merriweather, I said, Chris, are you you and Cheryl going to join us with the roller rink on Friday night? And he said, no, Jesse, I don't think we will. And I said, oh, well, that's regrettable. I was really hoping that y'all would be there and enjoy the deal. And he said, Jesse, he said, when I was in the world, he said, and I dealt drugs, the roller rink was the place that I used to go and sell the most of my drugs. He said, I don't want to be reminded of that. I don't want to go backwards, but I want to look forwards. You know, we don't always have to, just because we were going to the roller rink wasn't sin. But what it did for him, it reminded him of where he once was. And he didn't want to be reminded of the bondage that he once found himself in. He wanted to rejoice in the freedom that he now had in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Some of the greatest sins that we find in the church today, and I don't have time to expound on these three, but there are three of the major sins that I feel that has encroached upon the church today to agree that it is alarming and needs to and we need to start addressing these issues and start helping people know and understand and know this. You can still know who Jesus Christ is. You can still be a believer, but you can still be in bondage. Understand that we sometimes willingly place ourselves into areas of bondage in our lives. But the three major sins that I see that are affecting the church today is number one, I see sexual immorality creeping in the church in the form of fornication and adultery. Pornography and homosexuality. Yes, all of them's creeping into the church today. Then we see the number two sin that I see that's creeping into the church is drunkenness. And again, I don't have time to expound on all of the things. And number three, the third thing that I see that's creeping in so much is language, the language of the day. You know, used to, when I was growing up, a swear word was only used when somebody got super angry, or they hit their thumb with a hammer, you know, and then all of a sudden something would come out of their mouth. But today it's woven into the fabric of our society, and the language that we see is in such a way that it's words that people would never speak in front of females in the past when I was growing up. Now females use these same words in everything every day. There is no segregation when it comes to that. And this is an area in my life that God has really been dealing with me about lately, but I'm going to move on from that. But I want to talk to you about what I see as the greatest spirit of bondage that affects the church today, and that is the spirit of fear. I believe that this is a spirit that binds the church. For God, we look at 2 Timothy 1 and 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind." Well, if God has not given us the spirit of fear, where does the spirit of fear come from? If it's not of God, then it's got to be of the enemy. We have witnessed the spirit of fear not only overtake the church, not only overtake a nation, but overtake the world in the last couple of years in this pandemic. People are fearful to even leave their own homes for fear of getting this particular virus that's been out there. But in the when we look at the course of fear in people's lives, that's all across the nation and everything, we see people with the fear of rejection, fear of not finding someone to love, fear of losing their job, fear of running out of money before you run out of month, the fear of poverty, the fear of losing your marriage, the fear of commitment, the fear of losing your children, the fear of death, the fear of harm, whether it's physical, emotional, or psychological, real or imagined. Fear is something that affects the church today in a way that we need to understand, that we need to get out from under the bondage of fear. The key to walking into Canaan and everyone that left Egypt taking part in the joyous victory of taking the land of Canaan was simply to believe that the one that delivered them from Egypt was able to deliver them from the giants they looked at across the River Jordan. Fear entered their heart. The spirit of fear took them over. And they said, "We cannot take on the giants." And Joshua and Caleb said, No, you don't understand. The same God that delivered us from Pharaoh is well able. We are well able to take the land. And as a result of the fear that entered their hearts, everyone 20 years old and older died off in the wilderness over the next 40 years. And were not able to walk into the land that God had set there before them. If we're not careful, sometimes fear will enter our hearts and our spirit, and we cannot walk in the paths that God would have us to walk in. We cannot walk in the blessings that He has already set before us. Praise the Lord. But we need to understand and know that our God is a deliverer, and we can look at the enemy and say, "It doesn't matter what you say to me, enemy. I know what God has before me. I know what God's word says. I know what He's already promised to me." Just this week, you know that I'm retired. I don't have a great deal of income. And the enemy tried to instill fear in my heart. I do a little bit of sports officiating on the side to help supplement my income so I have enough to make ends meet. And the last several weeks since I have committed to teaching Sunday school, because I'm not available both Saturdays and Sundays to go out and officiate, I haven't been getting any calls to go officiate on Saturdays. And so the enemy just kind of spoke to my spirit the other day and said, "So what are you going to do for financing if you're not working in softball right now?" And I just looked up to heaven and I said, "Lord, I know You're my provider. And do you know that within 2 hours' time, I got a call from Terry And Terry said, can you work Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of this week? And it was just like that. Because I didn't yield to the fear that the enemy was trying to instill in my heart. Fear is a tool, is a root from which anger, aggression, and timidity is birthed. When I was young, I was very fearful, and I was very angry. I had a chip on my shoulder, and I dared anybody to knock it off, and if you weren't willing to knock it off, I'd knock it off on your behalf, and then I'd just go to town and try to take on the world. I had a small man's complex. I was a little boy that back then. Randy outweighed me by, probably close to 80 pounds by the time we were in high school. And so I had a temper. But I look back on that, and that temper and everything, that anger and that aggression came from the spirit of fear that was in my spirit, that was in my heart. And I'm here to tell you that God can deliver you from that fear that keeps you from walking in the blessings that he set before you. I look back at the three Hebrew children in the book of Daniel, the third chapter, and they refused to bow before Nebuchadnezzar's golden image. And when confronted with the fact that they were going to be thrown in the fiery furnace, they said, you know what, King? We don't fear your fire because our God is able to deliver us. But even if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow. I'm going to tell you, enemy, it doesn't matter what you try to bring against me. Doesn't matter what you speak into my heart or into my spirit. I'm not going to let fear enter into my heart because I know that my God is my deliverer. And even if he doesn't, just as Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Because I believe that no matter what, God has my best interest in heart and he's going to take me to the places that he wants me to go. God has a plan, a purpose, or a blessing awaiting for you. You can rest assured that the enemy was going to try to do everything he can to rob you of that. Understand and know one thing. Faith and fear cannot coexist. Either you believe him or you're going to be fearful. And I, for one, am going to believe him. And believe that he knows best for me in my life. So Jehovah Mephalti, the Lord my deliverer, will you let him deliver you today? Praise the Lord. God bless you.